Welcome back to the Lazy Christian Podcast, where we're surrendering laziness and embracing faith. I'm Mitchell.
And I'm Allie. And today we'll be exploring the first half of the story, Abraham and Sarah, found in Genesis 12 through 16.
We want to thank you all for listening to our podcast. We really appreciate it and hope you'll stay with us because there's so much more to learn. So much more.
And make sure to check us out on all social media platforms. Look for us, the Lazy Christians, the Lazy Christian Podcast.
All right. Now, the story of Abraham and Sarah is quite a few chapters long, and there's so many things we can pull from their account. But today, we're going to be focusing on three things: the promise God made to Abraham, Sarah and Abraham's doubt in God, and the result of running ahead of God's plans.
Ooh, those are good ones. We'll also see divine promises and impatience to incredible miracles. This story is packed with wisdom and inspiration that we can apply to our daily lives. We're going to spread this story across two episodes because there's just so much information packed in these chapters, and we want to give you guys space to digest it.
A lot of information, I'm telling you. The account of Abraham is widely known and revisited in the New Testament. We'll highlight scriptures scattered throughout the Bible that serve as reminders of God's promise to Abraham. We must point out, though, that God changes their names to Abraham and Sarah in chapter 17. In this half of the series, we'll refer to them as Abram and Sarai.
So come along as we explore the lessons and hidden jewels discovered in the account of Abraham and Sarah. You can check out our previous episodes on Spotify, Amazon, and Apple.
Sit back, grab your Bibles, and let us take the heavy lifting out of understanding the Bible for you as we unpack the story of Abraham and Sarah, and hopefully encourage you today to continue to read. Allie, are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, let's get into it. Genesis 12, 1 through 3. And then the Lord said, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the people on earth will be blessed through you.
Imagine being told to leave your country, your relatives, and being promised that you'll be the father of a great nation when you're 75 years old. I mean, keep in mind, the promise made to Abram would not be fulfilled for another 25 years. God promised to make a nation for Abram. He would have children and grandchildren and even more descendants, enough to create a great nation.
Abram and Sarai listened to God and did as the Lord instructed them. Abram took his wife and headed to the land of Canaan. He chose to live in faith rather than fear. Abram followed God's instructions and left the familiar in order to explore the land that God intended for him to inherit.
He took a leap of faith.
Exactly. A huge leap of faith. He went forward with nothing more than a promise and without even knowing where he was headed.
Yeah. So in chapter 12, due to the famine, Abram and Sarai went down to Egypt. Fearing that the Egyptians would kill him to take Sarai because of her beauty, Abram asked her to say that she was his sister. He said to his wife, Sarai, in verse 11, look, you're a very beautiful woman, and when the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is his wife, let's kill him, then we can have her. So please, tell them you're my sister. Then they will spare my life and treat me well because of their interest in you. And that's exactly what happened. Pharaoh took Sarai into his palace as his wife and gave many gifts to Abram because of her.
Okay. Allie, how's it going?
Good. And you?
I'm good. Allie, have I ever told you how beautiful you are? I mean, you can make a day feel like a sunrise. Listen up. When we get in here, okay? You listening?
Yes.
When we get in here, I want you to say you're my sister.
Your sister?
Yes, my sister. Or else we get the axe.
Okay, no, I'm not doing that.
You're not doing it? Do you want to live, Allie? We must save ourselves. This was Abram's ridiculous plan. It was just impulsive and outlandish thinking he had.
Abram thinking? I mean, didn't he remember that God promised to deliver him from his current position to make him the father of all nations?
I think like all of us, Abram was afraid and forgot the promise God had made to him. And when death was creeping, he curled his tail and cowered behind his sister.
Well, we read later that the Lord intervened and inflicted serious diseases on Pharaoh and his household because of Abram's wife Sarai. In verse 18, Pharaoh summoned Abram, and he accused him sharply. "What have you done to me?" he said. "Why didn't you tell me she was your wife? Why did you say she's my sister, so that I took her to be my wife? Now then, here is your wife. Take her and get out of here." In verse 20, Pharaoh ordered some of his men to escort them and sent Abram out of the country along with his wife and all his possessions.
An even trade. This brings into question, how much did Abram love Sarai? If he was satisfied trading her for sheep, cattle, and servants, among other things? You see, even in the promise from God, we are still unfaithful out of fear. God had promised Abram to be the father of all nations, and this came directly from the Lord. And yet Abram still doubted, and in that doubt became his sin. We just read in verses 17 through 20, Pharaoh accepted Sarai at the time, but then later on, the Lord struck Pharaoh and his household with a serious plague, and after realizing the issue, he gave Sarai right back to Abram, right where she should be. See, you may think that you have everything under control. You've handled everything, the I got this mentality. Some of my toughest lessons from God are when God says no.
Yeah.
No, Mitchell, you can't have it your way. And then he puts me right back on the path he set for me from the beginning. Because God doesn't break his promises. Everything he says, everything he promises shall come to pass.
Yeah, that's exactly right. God is a deliverer. He graciously and he mercifully intervened to save Sarai after Abram's dishonesty, which really put them both in a situation they couldn't escape. And here's a lesson in this. You know, we don't need to tell lies to keep ourselves safe. Sarai was successfully delivered from Pharaoh's household by God. God could have undoubtedly prevented the Egyptians from harming Sarai and Abram, but Abram doubted God, his power, and his promise. It's something I think that we all do one time or another. It's just a reminder that Abram is just like us. And the good news is we can all be free from this prison of our own sin by God, by putting our trust and our faith in God.
Amen.
So in chapter 13, after Abram and Sarai return from Egypt, Abram and his nephew Lot, they find that the land can't support both their flocks and herds by living so close together. This led to conflict between Abram's herdsmen and Lot's herdsmen.
We can see that confrontation wasn't always something Abram was trying to conspire to. At the beginning, when they were going to Egypt, Abram suggested calling Sarai his sister in order to avoid conflict and confrontation. And now look in chapter 13. He suggests splitting up the land, and in order to avoid conflict, he lets Lot choose from the fertile, from which land he wants.
Yeah, so Abram says in verse 8 through 9, "Let's not allow this conflict to come between us or our herdsmen. After all, we are close relatives. The whole countryside is open to you. Take your choice of any section of land that you want, and we will separate. If you want the land to the left, I'll take the land to the right. If you prefer the land to the right, then I'll go to the left."
So Lot chooses the fertile land, of course, of the Jordan Valley. And Abram took the land of Canaan. However, the land of Canaan at the time was filled with sinful and corrupt people. Abram moved and settled in Hebron. You see, Abram finally remembered the promise God had spoken to him. That's why there was no problem giving up land that was rightfully his.
In Genesis 15:1, it says, "Sometime later, the Lord spoke to Abram in a vision and said to him, 'Don't be afraid, Abram, for I will protect you and your reward will be great.' But Abram replied, 'O sovereign Lord, what good are all your blessings when I don't even have a son? Since you've given me no children, Eleazar of Damascus, a servant of my household, will inherit all my wealth. You have given me no descendants of my own, so one of my servants will be my heir. Then the Lord said to him, 'No, your servants will not be your heir, for you will have a son of your own who will be your heir.' Then the Lord took Abram outside and said to him, 'Look up in the sky and count the stars if you can. That's how many descendants you will have.' And Abram believed the Lord, and the Lord then counted him as righteous because of his faith."
Remember, folks, 75 years old Abram was. Repeated reminders. Remember, the faithful love of the Lord never ends.
Yes.
As parents, we can see that sometimes our children doubt themselves. As a result, we hear a bunch of, "I don't want this. I can't do it. It's too hard." and the famous, "I'm too scared," just constantly doubting themselves. And that's why it's our job as parents to inspire them. Never let them say, "I can't," but rather trade it with, "I can't yet," or "I will." Little fun fact for you. Look at Abram. The Lord had to constantly remind him who he was and what purpose he had for every living human on the planet. Abram struggled to believe this because right up until the age of 75, he remained childless. But just as a good father, God doesn't mind giving you reminders of the path he has set for you. His purpose for you is to serve him. He reminds you from a place of love, a love that will humble you in the most unexpected ways. Now, at this time, Abram was old and knew he was old, and so was his wife. They spent many years on this earth and still no child. But yet God promised it, and so God will prevail. And we see that promise come to life in the coming chapters.
So now we've talked about Abram and his mistakes, and just like all humans, we make mistakes too. So we can't leave Sarai out of that box. You know, she was overcome with emotion, heartbroken, saddened, and filled with melancholy. And in those emotions, Sarai made an error that even she regretted. You see, the story of God's promise to Abram intersects with Sarai's and her longing for a child. It was her impatience that drew her servant Hagar into this drama. And inconsequentially, Hagar grabbed a part of that covenant promise to Abraham.
By being impatient and running ahead of God's timing, Sarai devised a plan and what she thought was a good idea. A plan that would work to get the promised child from God.
Right.
So Sarai promised in Genesis 16:2, "The Lord has prevented me from having children. Go and sleep with my servant. Perhaps I can have children through her." And Abram's response, just like any other man avoiding conflict, agreed. As for Hagar, the servant, I don't think she had much of a choice either.
Mm-mm.
This was all Sarai's plan, which during Hagar's pregnancy, she realized quick, yeah, this isn't really a good idea, and proceeds to blame Abram for her rash and irrational thinking. Sarai said to Abram in 16:5, "This is all your fault. I put my servant into your arms, but now that she's pregnant, she treats me with contempt. The Lord will show you who's wrong, you or me."
Mm-hmm. You know, I believe Sarai had validation for the way that she felt. You know, let's not forget that she was hauled halfway across the Middle East because her husband was determined to pursue a vision that only God showed him. You know, she was still without child years after her husband first heard God's promise to make him the father of many nations. You know, and that's heartbreaking. Not to mention that Hagar may have had grown disdain for her childless master, you know. So all that set aside, it set off a chain of events that would alter the future of mankind. Abram, still being anti-confrontational, responded by saying, "Look, she's your servant, so deal with her as you see fit."
After the birth of Abram and Hagar's son, little Ishmael, Sarai banished Hagar and little Ishmael. Into the wilderness you go. And while in that wilderness, Hagar is visited by a divine messenger. In Genesis 16:9, the angel of the Lord said to her, "Return to your mistress and submit to her authority." Then he added, "I will give you more descendants than you can count." So Hagar is now promised alongside Abram a great nation of descendants. The only difference was that Hagar's child will be, quote unquote, as tamed as a wild donkey. He will raise his fist against everyone, and everyone will be against him. Yes, he will live in open hostility against all his relatives. You want to know a fun fact, Allie?
I would love one.
A little fun fact about the Bible. Hagar was the very first human to be visited by an angel. Did you know that?
I absolutely do not know that.
Also, and most importantly, Hagar becomes the only one to give God a name.
Wow.
Pretty crazy, right?
Yeah.
El Roy, the God who sees me. As we read in Genesis 16:13, it says, "Thereafter, Hagar used another name to refer to the Lord who had spoken to her. She said, 'You are the God who sees me.'" El Roy. Uncle El Roy. Gives a whole new meaning to that. Jesus.
Exactly. I love Hagar's story. It's a compelling one, you know, of Exodus and suffering as well of how God meets us in the middle of our trials. You know, we tend to focus more on the story of Abraham and Sarah, as well as the fulfillment of God's promise to Abraham, you know, the father of many nations. But the story of Abraham and Sarah includes the faith and the perseverance of Hagar, a woman who was drawn in and ultimately led out into the wilderness by impatience, jealousy, and imperfect people.
We feel bad for Hagar. Maybe we even feel sad for Abram as well. And we can identify as characters in this unusual story who are deeply and permanently human. They are us, all of us. The story of Hagar includes both Israel's and our own stories. Israel and the nations share the same destiny as children created, maintained, loved, and saved by the same God. The covenant's people represent all of humanity. Remember, it's in the wilderness that Hagar is met by the angel of the Lord. Wherever we are in our own wilderness story, God is with us, maintaining, loving, and rescuing us. Hagar, just like her predecessors, Abram and Sarai, serves as a standard model of faith for us to emulate. She shows us where to discover God. And this narrative serves as a poignant reminder that even in our darkest moment, God is faithful to those who trust in him.
I love that. Yeah. It's among those such as Hagar that Jesus can be found. God works through all human history complexities, through the lives of highly flawed and damaged people who never seem to get it right. There isn't a perfect individual in any of the Bible stories. Every character in Genesis is flawed, just like us. Abraham and Sarah question God's plan and promise, as a result affecting Hagar and her child. Are you questioning God's promise today? Do you feel doubt? Are you giving up? Because God has not.
And as we conclude today's podcast discussion for this first episode, we hope you find encouragement in knowing that our God is a God of assurance and redemption. Be encouraged to hold fast in your faith, knowing that he works all things together for the good of those who love him. Join us next time as we dive into Genesis 17 through 21. And until then, I'm Mitchell.
And I'm Allie.
You guys stay tuned for the next episode. Take care.
Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.